Family resemblance. 1 John 3:1-7 is our text this morning. Christ is risen. He is. Today is the third Sunday of Easter. During this Easter season, we're going through 1 John, and we're hearing the good news of the resurrection. As we go through this Easter season, we're hearing the good news of the resurrection from the perspective that John writes from in 1 John. Last week, we had the introduction. The first part of our text was from the introduction. The message from John is that Jesus is true God, and that Jesus became human for us, that he became human to serve us. We found that true joy comes from knowing, believing, and trusting that truth. It comes from hearing what Jesus did, hearing about his life, about his death, about his resurrection on Easter Sunday, and that he came back to life, and that we can have life as well. Complete joy, as John wrote about it, it comes from knowing and trusting those truths, and also seeing others know and believe and trust that Jesus rose from the dead and that they can have life through that truth as well. Last week we also saw that knowing God and having joy is like being in the light and not in the darkness. Living with God is like living in the light as opposed to living in the darkness. And we get to chapter 3 now. We stopped at the beginning of chapter 2 last week, so we skip most of chapter 2. But during that chapter, John continued to talk about light and dark, about knowing God and not knowing God, about how this is evidenced in behaviors and how people live their lives. He also expanded on his reasons for writing to all believers and really demonstrated that he's writing to everyone who believes as an encouragement, both young and old, all ages he's writing to as an encouragement for them. And he encourages us also to watch out for those who would oppose Christ, for those who would teach false things about Christ. So he warns us about that. As we get to our text for this morning, he reminds us to stay strong in what we believe, and he recognizes and he states that those who do right, who act rightly, are born of God. And so he's writing to those now, as we've seen already, he's writing to those who know God, who trust him. And he finishes up by saying, those who are born of him. And he uses that as kind of a stepping stone to go to where the topic is today, in our text today. Those who are born of him, those who know God and are part of him, are born of him. And so that's kind of a new angle that focuses on a result of the resurrection. And that's where we go in our text today, looking at those who are born of him. Our text is from 1 John 3, verses 1 to 7. We'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. 1 John 3, 1 through 7. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning. Thank you that John writes to encourage us in our faith and our trust in you, and that we would as we hear these words and consider them this morning, that we would think about what it means to be your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll invite any kids that would like to come up to come to the front. All right, come on up. Got a little bit more room over on this side, too. There's a little room over on that side, too. You want to come over there? No? You want to go here? Okay, that's fine. Yeah, there's more room over there. Everybody's got to get themselves arranged. Okay, hey, I want to ask you a question. Who are you?
Ezra.
Oh, Ezra, okay. That describes you. Who are you? Who are you? A child of God? Hey, you got right to the conclusion here. You're a little too fast. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how else could you describe yourselves? Who are you? Who are you? Do you have a name that goes with your family?
Bronson.
Yours is Bronson. Who else? What? Eastling. What else do we have? You got Eastling here. Yeah. Did you know what? Guess what? Are you a part of a family? Are you a part of a family? Yeah, you're a part of a family. You have parents. You might have siblings. And that, you are a part of that family. And that's part of who you are, right? Yeah. We are. It's true. But I'm focusing on our families right now. You know, your parents, siblings maybe. So it's true. We are all related from way, way, way back, right? But you have a family that you're a part of. Do you learn things from your family? Do you get things from your family? Is part of who you are being part of your family? What do you think? Yeah. So we could say you guys are Eastlings, right? We have Peterbaugh, we have Burden, right? We have any other last names here? We got Bronson. That's who we have. You guys are a part of that. That's your identity. And also, I think we're getting a little distracted here. All right. Well, what else are you? Samuel said it. Who heard what Samuel said earlier? Who are you? A child of God, right? You are God's children. So we're going to learn about that. What does that mean? What is this, guys? You guys see what this is? An empty scroll. It's a blank page. I looked for an image of a blank page. I could have just gone with this, but I went with this. This is a blank page. Here's what I want you to do on the blank page. Oh, hold on. Go sit down until I'm done. All right. Here's what I want you to do with the blank page. I want you to draw your family that you're a part of. Can you do that? All right. Here you go. Can you pass those out? You want to pass? Here, you pass those out over here. Here, come on down here, Eli, to pass them out. All right. Okay. I'm going to help you here, okay? I'm going to help you. All right, here you go. Did you get one? Here you go. There you go. Okay, do you want those ones? All right, thanks for coming up, guys. Well, that one was a little bit different. All right. Well, the first verse of our text this morning, 1 John 3:1, it's a special verse for our family. Especially, you see the break of the verse, maybe not the last part of it, but the first part of it, first couple sentences of that verse is very special for our family. Most of us, not necessarily always all of us, but most of us say that together almost every day. Some days we don't get to it, but most days we do. The only difference in how we say it is that we use the older phrasing of the NIV before they revised in 2012. And this is how we say it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now, I suspect that as they revised the NIV about a decade ago, they changed this to reflect the original word order from the Greek text. So that's probably why they changed it. I like that other way of saying it, though. If you are familiar with the King James Version of this, you might remember the word behold. Behold how great is the love. I don't know how the rest of the King James goes, but it starts with behold, right? That word kind of catches your attention. The point here of however we start that verse out is to emphasize how significant, how meaningful is the love that God has given us. We get this idea. Look at this. Wow! Amazing! Behold! See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Now, before going on to the rest of the text, let's just pause here for a moment and enjoy that thought. I kind of want to think about this as something that you might enjoy thinking about and reflecting on, kind of like if you're the kind of person who likes to take a bath or who likes to sit in a hot tub, you want to get in, you want to relax, or maybe you're the kind of person who in the morning you wake up and it's warm and cozy and you don't really feel like getting out of bed. You just want to linger there in bed for a little bit. You want to soak in that experience. Or maybe on a sunny day like this, you might say, it's warm, it doesn't feel too hot, and you go out in the sun and that feels really good, and you just want to soak up the sunshine, and you're not in a hurry to get out of there. Or if you have, imagine having a hot cup of coffee or tea, or maybe you prefer a cold glass of lemonade, and you just want to sit there and sip that and enjoy the flavors. Well, that's what I want to do here for a moment. Let's just do that. Let's just consider for a moment. Enjoy the flavors, we might say, of what we hear just in this verse here. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Not that we might be called children of God, but that we are called children of God. It's amazing. And so John adds that phrase at the end. That is what we are. Wow. Children of God. In the waters of baptism, we are brought into God's family. We are children of God. He calls us His own. We belong to Him. We are children of God. We are part of His family. The things that are true of Him, some of the things at least that are true of Him, are true of us because we're part of His family. It's who we are with Him. In 2001, so a while ago, not very far from here in Northfield, Minnesota, I walked out of a dorm at St. Olaf College. Now, I wasn't a student there, and also I had not broken in. I was not in the wrong place. I walked out of this dorm because I was there as part of preparing for the Lutheran Brethren Youth Convention, which was held there in the summer of 2001. Now, it was hot, and you might remember that as the summer that Corey Stringer died of heat stroke, I guess is what happened to him with the Vikings. But that, we were there during all that heat. That's when we had our youth convention there, so we kind of tried to stay out of the heat. But here I was. It was before that convention started, the youth convention, and I was there in preparation. I was part of the team getting the youth convention organized. And as I walked down the sidewalk, I looked, and in the distance, I saw my friend Jeff, who was walking towards me. He was also part of the group preparing for this youth convention. And we paused for a moment to talk on the sidewalk as we went by. And he said, you know, after we finished talking about what we needed to talk about, he said, you know, when I saw you walking down that sidewalk from a distance, I knew it was either you or your brother. I knew it was one of the two. I didn't know who at first, but I knew it was one of you by the way that you were walking. Apparently, between my brother and me, we have a resemblance in how we walk, in our step, in our gait. There must be something there. So the three of us, Jeff, my brother and I, and some others had been living in the same house, working with a church plant for the previous year. So there was time to get to know each other. And that's one of the things that Jeff had picked out, that my brother and I had a similar way of walking, that he could pick it out from a distance. In families, there's a resemblance in family members. Some of this can be genetic, and that can get passed on. But some of it is just simply from being part of the same family, spending time together, and having the same experiences. And when it comes to being part of God's family, there's a resemblance that we get from being part of God's family. Now, it's not genetic, a genetic resemblance, but it might be kind of similar to that in some ways, or a part of it is, because God makes us His children. And as He makes us His children, He gives us a resemblance to Himself. He makes us like Him in some ways. Now, the rest of our text, as we go on thinking about what it means to be children of God, to resemble Him, to have family resemblance with Him, that's where we're going to be looking. What does this resemblance look like? First, we might consider who we are compared to those who are not yet, we might say hopefully not yet, a part of God's family. We hope that others will be a part of God's family eventually. But as we compare those of us who are part of His family to those of us who are not, those of us who are to those who are not, John says this: the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. They don't recognize, in a sense, or understand the children of God because they don't understand God. They don't know Him. Now, that's interesting. If we consider our lives, would we say, does the world not know us? Do they not recognize us? What does that mean, that the world does not know us? Well, we might think about the stereotype of a Christian, of what it means to be a Christian for someone who is not a Christian. For some, it might mean not having fun. You know, Christians don't have fun. You can't do what you want if you're a Christian. You have to follow all the rules, right? There might be that stereotype. There may be the stereotype that you have obligations to other people, that you have to listen to what they say, and you have to follow what you're told, and that you don't really want a part of that. Now, there are times where the negatives that people might think about Christians are true, but the reality is that those actually don't reflect the family resemblance. That reflects the fact that we still have a sinful nature. Things like hypocrisy and self-righteousness and those things, those are not a reflection of our family resemblance. It's simply the sinful nature that's still there. But the focus here, as we think about family resemblance, is on those good parts, the good things, and those who are not a part of that, who don't know that, who don't have that faith in God, it's easy to not understand what it is to live a Christian life, to be a Christian. They don't understand often the joy that we have as Christians. Why do we have this joy? It's not understood because they don't know God. Sometimes it can be easy for us to forget what it means to be a Christian, what that family resemblance is. And so we have these reminders from John and from others who write in the New Testament to remind us. And John looks now at what that means. What is that family resemblance? And the thing is that we still look, and this is where John focuses for a moment here, we still look like anybody else physically, right? There's nothing that, if you saw somebody walking down the street, there generally wouldn't be anything that identifies a Christian or a non-Christian, right? Now, there are, and especially in the past, I suppose, there have been stereotypes, and maybe there still are, maybe we still have them, these ideas that we can tell if somebody really isn't a Christian, maybe by, you know, how they look, how they dress, you know, they have too many piercings, too many tattoos, you know, what clothing, you know, maybe we would say, okay, that points them out as not being a Christian. But, you know, the reality is that even if there are some things that somebody might do that maybe a Christian wouldn't choose when it comes to appearance or things in life, even if there are things, the reality is that if somebody has done that and becomes a Christian, it's already too late to go back, right? But they're still a Christian. They're still a part of the family of God. So even things that maybe we would not choose to do, if the effects are still there, that doesn't tell us anything about that person, right? Whether they are or not. The outward appearance. By the outward appearance, it is not necessarily clear who is or who is not a Christian. Activities, too, can be like that, right? There might be certain things that we have in our minds, well, a Christian wouldn't do that, and some might be true. We really wouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. But there are other things that maybe we have the idea that we wouldn't do that, or a Christian wouldn't, but it's not something that's actually prohibited, and so there's not a clear indication that doing that or not doing that, even if it might be in our minds, it might not be a clear indication of who is or who is not a Christian. The point is this. In some ways, primarily outwardly, we don't really look different from others. There's no, holy glow or anything around us as we're part of God's family. We don't see this, you know, a sparkly person coming down the street and we say, well, that would be a Christian right there. You can see God's reflection on them. Or no superpowers that we've been given and that indicate, yeah, we're a Christian. So the difference then is not explained by exterior factors. So John explains why that is, that we don't see the obvious right now. And he says, and it's kind of along these lines that we find other places in the Bible too. There's this idea that we have that there is an already, but not yet. In other words, something is true already. So in the case of being children of God, we are already children of God, but the final result of what it means to be children of God is not yet apparent. John says it this way, "Dear friends, now we are children of God." So we already are. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. So there's a change that will come in eternity. "But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So the reason why there's not a clear difference in outward appearance between those who are part of God's family and those who are not is because the full result of Jesus' resurrection hasn't happened yet in our bodies. But we know that it's coming. We know that it's coming. But even though there isn't an outward, obvious difference, there is a difference. And when we dig a little bit deeper, we do find a difference between those who are children of God and those who are not. There is a difference in lifestyles, in choices in our life. It's different, but when someone who is not a part of the family of God sees the difference, it doesn't make sense to them. Why would we choose the things that we do? And John said, as he did say, the reason is they don't know God. But we know that there is a difference, and we look ahead to the point where Jesus will return again. Jesus never sinned, so he doesn't need a removal of sin in the new body. We're going to have a removal of sin when we get our new body, when it's changed. But his body was still changed at the resurrection, changed to an eternal body. In the end, we also will be changed, fit for an eternal home. The family resemblance that has begun now, we are God's children now, it will be completed fully later, like Christ. But it already has an impact now, as far as who we are and what we do. And John says it this way, "All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." Now, we're looking forward. We're looking forward to what God will do, what we will be. And John asked us to consider what we already are. We already are God's children. And so, if we have this hope that in the end he will change us and give us an eternal body, he says this is something that is sure. It's not wishful thinking. And as we realize that, we purify ourselves as he is pure. Now, I made kind of a mention to it before. You may have noticed that I shaved. This is the first time in like 15 years that this part of my face has been shaved. Now, some of you saw me on Thursday, and that was a unique day because I had, a Fu Manchu mustache like this just that day. I did that just for that day. And those of you who saw me that day might have been wondering, how long is this going to last? that day, Theo told me a couple times, especially if there was a time where I had to be a little stern with the kids. He said, "I can't take you seriously." But here's the point. Here's why I bring that up. Later that day, Mandy sent me a picture of Moses And I wasn't right at home, but he sent me a picture. Moses had taken some string cheese and made himself a mustache that matched mine. Well, here's what I'm getting at with that. You know, you might have seen similarly pictures of a boy standing next to his father, his father is shaving, and he's trying to shave as well. Maybe he's mimicking his father. Now, as I said, I've not shaved a lot, you know, when my kids have seen. And besides that, I use an electric razor, so it's not quite the same thing, although maybe they could pretend to have an electric razor. But what I'm getting at here is that children tend to, especially young children, tend to imitate their parents. They tend to imitate the things that they see and hear in their parents. We are God's children. He made us His children. And there's no way that we can become more His children. We are His children. Yes, we will be changed in eternity, but it doesn't make us more His children, right? We are already His children as much as we can be. But we are not yet what we will be. And there's an effort on our part then that John calls us to. And it's not to get a better standing with God. It's not to be more God's children. It's simply a desire that God gives us as His children to be more like Him. He is pure. And we see that. And He gives us the desire to purify ourselves. And this makes us different from the world. This makes us different. This makes us stand out. We have this desire to be like our Father. And, you know, John expands a little bit then. What does this family resemblance look like? He says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him, of course, speaking of Jesus, is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. As God's children, He gives us a desire to see the world and understand things around us as He sees it and knows it. And one thing that is learned as we do that, as that He teaches us, is what is good and what is evil. Our natural condition is to do wrong, to do evil, to sin, to break the law. In particular, God's law. Not so much the laws put in place by governing authorities, although those are important to follow because God tells us to. But more so than those laws, we're talking about God's law. And in particular, as Jesus expanded our understanding of what that means, that it extends to our thoughts and our attitudes, not just our actions. Jesus teaches that following the law means setting aside ourselves and serving others. Sin, John tells us, is lawlessness, not being controlled by the outward influence of God's law, doing what we want, serving our selfish desires. But Jesus came to take away sin. Now, we might think about what might first come to our minds when we hear that is the penalty for sin. The penalty for sin is death. And He takes away that penalty through His death and resurrection. And we rejoice that He has taken that away. His resurrection is a promise of our resurrection for those who are trusting in Him, that we will live eternally. And so that may stand out as we think, as we hear this statement that He has come to take away sins. But it's not just the guilt and the punishment that He takes away. John says He takes away sins. That's part of what He does. Now, not one of us will ever be perfect before eternity. That becomes clear as we read all of Scripture. We will never be perfect. So what John is saying here about not sinning and all of that, it doesn't mean that being part of God's family means being perfect. But as Christ works in us, He makes us part of God's family. And as God's children, because that is what we are, He works to remove sin from our lives little by little. He removes sin. And as John gets to this, he talks about continuing to sin. There's this sense of just living in it without any desire to change. And he says, no one who lives in him, in Christ, goes on sinning. No one who continues to sin knows him. In other words, there's a change that happens in us. Those who acknowledge the Bible, maybe in a superficial sense, maybe even understand that Jesus came to forgive sins, if that's to the extent that it goes and it doesn't mean anything else to them, and a person like that still lives for themselves, not thinking about Christ and the resurrection, they don't really know God. They may know the facts in the Bible, but if it's not a matter of trusting Him, they don't really know God. John wants us to know God. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And John continues this thought over the course of several more verses in different ways, expanding on this truth of family resemblance. Here he says, dear children, children who are loved by God, don't let anyone lead you astray. One who does right is righteous, just as he is righteous. That's a great promise. Because Christ is risen, as we think about what John has been telling us here, because Christ is risen, we get to be God's children. And we think about, again, how John started this out. Behold, see it, reflect on it, marvel how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. How great is the love that He has, that would be true, that we can be called children of God. As broken and rebellious as we are, He calls us His children. So we reflect on what it means to be His children, that we are His children. We bear His resemblance, our Father who is in heaven. And so we ask our Father in heaven, make that resemblance stand out in our lives, purifying ourselves, not continuing to sin, but acting rightly. We ask that He would help us to stand out from those who are not yet a part of His family, not primarily so that we look different by not doing or doing certain activities, but so that it shows that our motivations are different, that we resemble our Father in heaven, that we resemble Christ, our brother, through our sacrificial giving. We are God's children. Christ is risen. Amen.